Well, good morning once again, everyone. I want to welcome you to our service in the name of Jesus Christ. I think that for this morning's service, title I have for you for today's service is Let Us Go On Unto Perfection, and we can find that in Hebrews in the sixth chapter and in the first verse. And I believe that the song we just sang, Give Me Thy Heart, in our Sunday school class as well, reading in the second book of Nephi, is really kind of talking about what I'd like to talk about today. And, you know, we talk about the song here that we just sang, Give Me Thy Heart. You know, from this dark world, he would draw us apart. I want to touch on that. I want to touch on the fact that, have I not died for thee? Give me thy heart. Turn now from sin and from evil, depart. You know, and I think about our Sunday school, for those of you that weren't in our class, we had read chapter 12 of 2 Nephi, and I turn here often to talk about, I believe, the day and the time that we live in. I think this is the day that we live in. We live in an eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die and it'll be well with us, you know, and God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we'll be saved and we'll enter in. I feel that that's the day and the time that we live in, when we're bombarded and we have distractions on every corner that we turn around, and we are just constantly bombarded and hard to remain focused on God, because I think us ourselves too are surrounded by those that are really caught up in an eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die and it shall be well with us time frame, that we too find ourselves being caught up in that and distracted from our responsibility that we have. And especially when we read a verse that says, you know, let us go on into perfection. And, you know, it's hard just to sometimes get through the stress of the day or the temptations of the day to even think about the word perfection is difficult for us. But I want to remind us, you know, that Paul here in Hebrews, as well as the Lord, told us that we have to go on unto perfection, that we have to be moving in that direction. And so I have the title for us this morning to draw our thoughts, our minds around the fact of that this is where we're supposed to be headed, you know, perfection. We have to be moving towards that perfection that Christ was even perfect himself, you know, and he wanted us to be Christ-like and to go on to perfection. And with that, I have an analogy that I wanted to kind of, I think part of it may make sense and part of it maybe didn't, and I didn't bring it all, but I just have an analogy that I wanted to give for you this morning that might help to make sense. And yesterday, the kids and I took Tara up to Cirque du Soleil for her birthday in Montreal. And we had a wonderful time together as a family. And I don't know how many of you ever been able to be to a performance of Cirque du Soleil, but they have an amazing, talented group of performers that is not like a typical circus. They are precise in what they do and perfect in what they do, and their feats are, you know, amazing at what they do. And we were on the edge of our seats the entire time through, and we had a wonderful time watching. And I want to just give you some pictures for those of you that don't know. You know, they do these things that seem next to impossible and things that, you know, I'm sure the majority of us in here probably could not do. You know, and I'm sorry, the pictures aren't the best. I just put them together. But, you know, they do these amazing feats, and you wonder, how in the world do they do these things? How are they talented enough to do that? How are they able to act with such precision and such consistency, and to do things in tandem with the other person that's there? You know, how, I mean, just things you would not think that are humanly possible, but they're real, right? The things that they do, they're not, this isn't magic, this isn't an illusion before us. It's actual real things that are performed that people physically are able to do. And so we know that they spend countless hours, right, of practice over and over, and they're very disciplined. And they're disciplined in their exercise of the body, right? They must do tremendous amounts of strength training, endurance. I'm sure they got to even have their eating habits correct, right, in order to maintain the physical condition that they have and to be able to do the feats that they do. And they have to also spend countless hours in discipline of the mind, right? They have to be able to be focused To be able to put out those distractions. Can you imagine when they're performing in the group of people and in the audience, and there's these distractions, and so they have to focus in on their minds. And we know that many of them aren't solo acts. Some of them are solo acts when they're by themselves, but others, they have to be perfected with partners, or they have to be perfected with multiple people that are involved. And, you know, if you were to Google Cirque du Soleil and just Google some things about how they practice, you know, and how they prepare, and I began to read, and I didn't quote any of the things, but I just began to read, you know, the countless hours of how they practice, how they prepare, how they get ready for these difficult performances. Even before they come on stage, they're in separate rooms. A lot of the times they're preparing. They have great preparation that they go through just to get ready for their act that they come out, so that they can perform their acts in total excellence, right? They're perfected. We saw yesterday, in fact, it looked like the guy hit his head. You know, they slid him all the way down within an inch of where they have to, before the person's head would hit the ground. And the things that they do, and they have to do them absolutely perfect. Right? And they're just amazing, some of the things that they do. And so with that, I want to turn over and analogy now back over into our scriptural side and read to you Matthew 5:48 that I have here before you. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Right? And we know that Jesus calls us to a different type of perfection than what I just showed you in terms of the physical. But he's calling us to a perfection as well. And I want to use this analogy for us. I'm going to turn over in chapter 5, and I want to actually go backwards. I read you the last verse of Matthew chapter 5. And I want to actually turn back to verse 1. And I want to talk about, again, a different type of perfection. And I'm talking about a spiritual perfection today. But I want to use some of the examples of this Cirque du Soleil and their the actions that they have to take, right? The practice and the discipline in order to physically and mentally be able to do what they do, that spiritually it is the same for us, that we must have practice and we must have discipline. And so we know that Christ, when he came to them in Jerusalem, he sat them down and there was a multitude of people, and we know the disciples were with him too, and he preached to them and gave the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly great, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before them." The scriptures go on in here to talk about us being the salt of the earth, how we're to be a light unto the world. It goes on in here to talk about, you know, being angry with one, you know, in times of old, you know, thou shalt not kill. And it says, you know, Jesus brought this law that said, even if we have anger, right, that we would be in danger of the judgment. He talked about adultery and he talked about how just to think on another would be like committing that in our heart. He goes on, and I just wanted to skip a few. And he goes on to talk about, "You have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what more do the others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. You know, so we have the reference here in Matthew that where Christ gave the Sermon on the Mount, and he gave instruction to the people, and it's that same instruction that we have today. And he teaches us how to deal one with another and the love that we're to have one for another, the love that we're to have to our spouse, that we're to be a light to others. And we know that he spoke these words 2,000 years ago. And as he's, again, spoke them to the multitude and to the disciples, they do apply to us today. And he has this desire that we would go on unto this perfection. That's why he gave us this instruction. These things that I just read to you and some of them I skipped over were all to help us go on unto perfection, to go towards Jesus, to choose good over evil. Will it be easy? No, right? Anybody would do it. I think it's just like the performers of Cirque du Soleil. You know, not just anyone can perform with precision and with accuracy what they do. I know I could not go apply to be within their circus. We have to do the hard work of discipline, right? They have to, those performers have to pass on the fatty foods, like I said. They have to lift the weights that are necessary to gain the strength. They have to practice over and over. And when they think they're done, what do they probably do? More practice over and over and over and over. And, you know, Christ is calling us as well to have that same type of disciplined life. And that's what I want to make the analogy for today. As they are disciplined to be those top performers of excellence in that unbelievable show that they put on, we have to have that same Christian disciplined life. And it's extremely hard. You know, and a good analogy might be how they're top performers. And you could go to a circus where It's not really death-defying feats, and they're just doing kind of some things that they really didn't have to be disciplined in, and they're able to put on a little bit of a show, right? And I think of our Christian life sometimes. We can be putting on a little bit and doing a little bit in our life and doing a little bit of praying in our life and do a little bit of reading in our life and kind of be mediocre. And then there's all the ways to going on unto that perfection, to being like a top performer would be in the Cirque du Soleil show, where they're extremely disciplined in their life and everything that they eat and do and practice and put into their body. And it's the same with us as a Christian. How disciplined are we going to be in order to go on unto that perfection? You know, and Christ is calling us as well to have that disciplined life. He wants us to perform the work of a servant of the Most High God, and we have to be disciplined in those areas. And I want to remind us today that, you know, there's no other higher calling, there's no greater calling that we could have in this life. And the analogy, and I hope it makes sense, I hope I'm not offending anyone either, but when I think about the circus again, you know, there's the really little rinky-dink circus that you could choose to be a part of, or there's the biggest, probably all the way up to, you know, working for Cirque du Soleil might be one of the greatest accomplishments that they could have in terms of working for the best company, the biggest worldwide company. And I want us to think of that as well, that, you know, in the service we have of being a servant in the Most High God, it's the greatest thing we could do in our life to serve God, to go on unto perfection, and to work on our spiritual life. Turn to a few more scriptures for you. In Colossians, I've got them up here in front of you this morning. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." You know, I'll often hear sometimes, "Well, you know, what's our purpose in this life? What are we supposed to be doing?" You know, people wonder what their purpose is. You know, we were created by and for him, right? Being Jesus Christ. That is our purpose. Our purpose in life is to be focused towards him. It's not for our desires of what we're wanting to be doing in our life. Our purpose is to serve Jesus Christ. We were created by and for him. I want to turn just to read about creation, just a little story called Animating God's Way. And it's a comparison about God's creation and a comparison to Pixar, right? They make a lot of animated feature films that our kids have probably seen, and they're probably some of the most realistic that we've seen. And it says, John Lasseter, Pixar Animation Studios, genius and director of the hit film Cars, was talking to Michelle Norris on National Public Radio. She commented on the amazing photorealism of the film, which was entirely created by computers. The cars glisten, she said. It looks like we're seeing photography. But she had a question for the movie maker. With everything you can do with computers, with computer-generated animations, are there still limitations? Norris asked. Absolutely, Lasseter replied. The more organic something is to the way it looks or the way it moves, the harder it is to create it with a computer. This was after he mentioned that every frame of the feature-length film required an average of 17 hours to create. According to the Los Angeles Times, production costs for Pixar films average about $140 million. However, no costs were mentioned in a Wall Street Journal review that appeared 2 weeks later, describing a summer exhibit at Brooklyn Botanic Garden. The medium here was photography, not computer-generated anything, and the subject was totally organic. Here is a brief description from the review. One canvas in magenta red has curling squares of what look like skin or material. Another has furry brown hairs sprouting on green and orange stripes. And on a third, lip-like shapes float on a gray-white background. The subject of these abstract photos? Magnified close-ups of tree bark. The closer one gets to something man has made, the more its imperfections are obvious, said Dr. Lewis Foster many years ago. The more we magnify something God has created, the more we see its perfection. You know, God is perfect in all things. You know, you think about mankind, we try to copy, try to duplicate what already we have in this life. This creation that's before us is perfect. God is perfect in all things. And it's why he commands us to go on unto perfection as well. In the book of Psalm, I want to read to you 8, verses 3 to 6. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. You know, God has created each one of us, and he cares about us. He cares about and desires for us to make the right choices in life. And he desires, you know, he gave them instructions, as I read to you in the Sermon on the Mount. He cares about his creation. He wants them to choose good over evil. He wants us to make these decisions in our life and to be disciplined so that we can be moving towards him and not away from him. In Isaiah 45, 9 to 12, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out all the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Again, God is in control. He has created all things that are before us. He formed us from the clay, right, to perform his works of righteousness and perfectness. Again, I want to remind us that we were created to perform his works of righteousness and his perfectness. He's called us to that. Familiar verses in John 3:16. I wanted to go to down to 21, though. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, this is the challenge that we have in our life. We have to love light, Love goodness, if you will, more than darkness, or more than evil. We have to have a love pleasing more to God than offending our God. We have to choose that pain of discipline, if you will, over that pain of regret in our life. And, you know, back to what I said in the beginning when I said, you know, reading in the Book of Mormon this morning in Sunday school, here we find ourselves surrounded and eat, drink, and be merry. Life around us of everyone, that we have to remain focused, that we are either choosing one way or the other. You know, God sent His Son in the world that we might choose that. That we might make that choice of either towards the light or towards the darkness. In Philippians, first chapter, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, God will continue just as He did yesterday. He'll continue today. He'll continue forever to be there for us. His desire is that we go on unto perfection. And it doesn't mean that we have to go at it alone. We are to be confident. We're to be remain faithful, that He will continue to work in us. He'll help us through those trials, those struggles. I didn't write all those scriptures down, but you know that we know that He'll make an escape for us when we're challenged in those areas and we're not going unto perfection, we're doing the opposite. We know that He'll make a way for us to escape. We know that He'll be there in our times of need, that you know the Holy Ghost will work within our life and direct us and give us those, speak to our hearts and give us those things to do to turn away from those things and to move more towards perfection. In Romans 5th chapter 7 to 10, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. All right, we know that God sent His only begotten Son for us, for the sinner. He has showed this great love that He has for us, and we know that we can't even begin to comprehend it. And there is a promise for the righteous, right? This is a promise that's for the righteous, that we, even though we're surrounded by an eat, drink, and be merry lifestyle around us, there is a promise if we will remain disciplined and we will remain righteous, there is a promise for us. I want to turn actually into Zion's Advocate issue, and I want to read to you. It's from the November-December issue, so you're welcome to read it when you go home, but it's the November-December issue by Elder Gordon McCann. I'm just going to read just a piece of it in here that kind of ties in perfectly. And he's got scripture references in here as well as his own words, and I'll read it to you. It's not very long at all. The God that we love and endeavor to serve looks into the hearts of His creation and calls out to them by His Spirit, looking for the true worshipers of God. But the hour, and this is John 4:23-24, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, and this is getting at what I'm trying to deliver today. We need to be truly worshiping our God, and He looks into our hearts, just as the song we read this day as well. He looks into our hearts to see if we're worshiping Him or not. Gordon goes on to say, it's incumbent upon each soul to humble themselves before Almighty God, our Creator, and without hypocrisy, seek Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He was quoting Matthew 10:28. And again, without hypocrisy, this is something I was driving at today, that we tend to be hypocrites in what we do. We come in and we want to worship Him, but again, we're entangled with an eat, drink, and be merry lifestyle, that we become hypocrites in what we do. Gordon goes on to quote in Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. You know, and I love he quoted Isaiah in here, and, you know, he'll abundantly pardon. He will forgive us. He will have mercy upon us. We are to be seeking him, though, especially while he's near and while we know him. In his last paragraph, that is why Jesus made it very clear now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Therefore, those who approach God must do so in faith believing. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, by exercising their faith in God, desiring to understand what is required of them in this life. They will find favor before him, because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you know, it's a reminder I want to give to us today. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are we being diligent in our discipline? You know, as those performers in Cirque du Soleil, they are extremely disciplined day in and day out. They go on unto perfection to perform what they're doing. In closing, go on unto perfection. You know, as I said in the beginning, sometimes just getting through the day, it can be the toughest thing for most of us, let alone this thing called perfection. But the reminder I want to give us today is that we are constantly need to make sure that we're moving in that direction towards perfection, right? If we're not moving towards Jesus Christ, then we must be moving away from him. We have to be in constant progression towards him, one step at a time, one day at a time, one good word about an enemy today. It all starts with one good thing that we do, one good thought over an evil thought that we have, one good action over a bad action. And we know that it's most important about what we do outside of these walls. As we gather in together today, it's easy. It's easy to be focused on what's good and what's right. And the challenge is, as soon as we leave outside these doors, I want us to remember, if you will, the analogy I gave us about the Cirque du Soleil performers, their discipline that they have, their practice over and over until they are able to do it perfectly. And it's not easy. Again, Google it and you'll see the challenges that they go through, the struggles that they go through. And they talk about, you know, the smile and the applause from the audience is why they're able to do it, and how it brings them completion, if you will, for all this discipline that they do. And for us, though, in the spiritual side, you know, all that we do in our Christian life is to give the glory to God that created all things, which is Jesus Christ. You know, everything that we do is to give him glory. We have to strive in our discipline. We have to practice over and over with failure, right? We have failure in the things that we do. We fall. We have accidents, you know, just as those circus performers have accidents. We have accidents. We fall prey to the works of the flesh. But we have to humble ourselves, bring ourselves to repentance, and continue on towards that road of perfection.